How you feeling?
Amazing. Sipping my coffee.
Get some of this water.
So, how do you feel about not going to the Bitcoin conference?
If I'm being honest, which I'm going to be, big part of me did still want to be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love the experience that we had. It was more, you know, even going there to just first of all see the people that, you know, orange pilled us.
Yeah.
And them share their, you know, express what they believe about the direction of Bitcoin and why it's so important. It was just, it was great to be part of the experience, just to see a lot. But, you know, this time around, I was just like, are we really missing out on anything? You know, we saw it last year. Is it really going to be any different?
Seems like it was bigger, but that doesn't necessarily mean better. You know, yeah. It seemed like they had more stuff going on. They had, you know, more to organize, more speakers.
Do you know if it was at the same place?
No, I don't. I was looking at pictures trying to see if I recognize stuff, and it's kind of hard to tell, but yeah, I don't know. Are you any closer when it comes to your family, friends? Probably mostly family, I'm thinking. I don't know, family, friends, whoever, people in your circle. Are you any closer to getting people, are you getting any more people that are hopping on the,
you know,
the Bitcoin train?
I've been getting more interest of people, like, you know, like I was letting you know, getting approached by friends that I met through an avenue that has nothing to do with crypto. You know, being invited to teach, you know, a few guys about it and exchange information that way. It was that's the one thing. But as far as family goes, my dad wants a shirt, but I'm not sure if he's ready to, you know,
like a Bitcoin shirt.
Yeah, he wants to rep Bitcoin. But okay, I'm like, let's get some in your name. Let's do this the right way, and then we can rep the,
not in your name, in your possession.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I see there's a lot of interest, like people like to ask questions and stuff, but I'm trying to figure out like what, you know, just the other day, Anna had some relatives in from out of town, her aunt and uncle, and right when I walked in, I happened to be wearing my Bitcoin miner shirt that you got me.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked in and they're like, oh, look, he's wearing the shirt. And it was like immediately just all these questions. And we went into, you know, they asked about mining, they asked about Bitcoin, you know, and it was kind of like maybe a 20 minute back and forth and me kind of explaining as well as I can in a short period of time. And it's like, I noticed that people get really intrigued. They're like, wow, that's really interesting. That's really cool. Like, that's a great, you know, like, and then a lot of times it's just like that, and then that's it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how do we, you know, getting people from that step of just like, oh, that sounds cool versus like, no, like, you got to do this.
Yeah.
Thing now. Like, this is so important. Like, this isn't just,
I think, you know, it's tough to want to, you know, invite somebody into these ideas that we hold so true, like without being so urgent. Like, I feel like we've got to have maybe more of a sense of urgency behind it. I think because from this point last year to now, it's been relative the same when it comes to price. Mm-hmm. I think the interest for people is just like, oh, okay, it's like, it's still just because it's at where it's at and it hasn't had any growth. And the volatility and the uncertainty about it is still very shaky. I think we haven't seen a lot of, of growth as far as popularity, but I'm seeing efforts. I feel like I'm seeing efforts through advertising, through, you know, bringing in famous individuals and celebrities and stuff and trying to put it on a main scale. But I feel like what should happen should be more of like an integration between like the powers that be to be accepting and embracing of it and do what is necessary to like help get the word out that it's part of where the evolution of money is heading.
But what do we do? Because we can't, you know, the powers that be are going to do what they're going to do. The governments are going to do what they're going to do. The corporations are going to do what they're going to do. But like,
maybe we got to get the fuck out there.
So right now, you know, if you're listening to this and you have a group of friends or, you know, people that want to get together and learn about this stuff or want to get their questions answered, let us know. Cause I would love to do that. I want to get, you know, have a meetup group or something where we can get together and, teach each other, and the people that have been around longer can explain to the people that are brand new and wanting to hear about it. Cause I really want to like, so in this particular podcast, I want to try to address maybe the biggest questions or the things that you hear most often. We've kind of touched on this before, but I think it's just something that can be done as many times as it needs to be, like, because it's so important, you know, as far as what are the barriers for entry? What are like the, you know, you mentioned uncertainty around volatility and price and stuff, and price is hard. Like, price definitely gets people excited, but it also is the thing that screws everybody over, because then they, you know, they get into it because they're looking to make money quick.
So what do you think? I think the main thing that I'm hearing that from people as far as their biggest hurdle or the obstacle that they run into is they feel like they missed the boat already.
Right.
Like, I think that's a big, and because this dollar amount is like for the majority of the average individual, you know, the average individual, it's like, it's a high number, you know, it's like, it's pretty up there. But
what do you mean? No, it's a fraction of a penny for a Satoshi.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Like the big number,
we got to stop talking about it. I don't.
So then let's redirect the conversation.
Well, because you got to look at the market cap, you know, Bitcoin is probably, what is it, a trillion right now, mm-hmm. roughly, plus or minus. And that's, you know, 1/10 the size of gold. And gold is, and you don't see that many people trading around in gold. Like, your gold is kind of small compared to everything else. So it's like, yeah, 50,000 seems like a lot, or 40,000 seems like a lot, but it doesn't seem like a lot compared to 10 million.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like a lot compared to a million. So how do we help people understand that it's not late, it's early?
Yeah. I mean, if we can help people to see that it's a longer term game, like if we can bring up facts about 4-year cycles and the halvenings and how the supply has been reduced, you know, and the capability to mine it halves every 4 years. Like, you know, we can tell people about the scarcity aspect of it. And then we can show them what the price has done over the course of the past 12 years and the trajectory of what could happen in the next 12 years. And even, but that's the thing, if we, trajectory wise, right, 10 million is attainable. It's like, it's within 20 years, right? It's like something, it's going to be ridiculous, mm-hmm. what happens, but to convince people of something that is so far-fetched in it's like pretend. It's really like,
yeah. And that's, so I think a couple things, like, no matter how well something is explained, it's like, I think there's people that explain technical stuff or, you know, present information in a really good way where it's just kind of like they explain the scarcity, they explain the decentralized nature, they explain the mining and the nodes and the, you know, how the networks spread, like, and they can explain it like in the most perfect way to where it's like, obviously, it seems like you could draw some conclusions right away, like, oh, this is the thing to get. But I think for most people, they kind of, their eyes kind of glaze over and they're like, And then it's kind of like, okay, sounds good. Sounds too good to be true. Sounds like pretend, doesn't sound real. And I think the fact that this is something new that we've never experienced before, it's outside of our current realm of understanding. It's just like, it's so challenging. Because no matter how much good information you have, if somebody is of the mindset that like, well, you know, governments always fuck everything up, or it's, you know, there's no way we can really have our own money, or there's, you know, it's like that being focused on the way things currently are and how bad it is versus like being focused on what could be the new thing, you know, it's like people that are, you know, like we're pretty pessimistic overall. It's like we tend to think like, well, it's broken and it's the way it is and we can't really do anything about it. And, oh, that sounds great, but you know, there's going to be some way around it or it's not going to work out or whatever. And I'm here to, like, my belief is actually that in the United States, we're going to be embracing this thing and the price does what it does as a result of manipulation and whales and news and all this crap that is kind of beyond our control. But at the end of the day, it's this thing, it's inevitable. It's happening whether anybody wants it to or not. And the price is kind of irrelevant. Like, to me, Bitcoin is the stable thing and everything else is the volatility, you know, because Bitcoin is the one that's like every 10 minutes there's a block. It's doing its thing automatically. It's completely predictable. It's the only thing that like is stable. It's the thing that we know, like, oh, the government's not going to go print and double the supply next year.
Yeah.
You know,
even if they're trying to scrounge for every last bit that any criminal has ever gotten.
I saw something on Twitter the other day. I don't know how true it is, but someone said something like there's more than 50 million Bitcoin on exchange, which we know Bitcoin is limited to 21 million, which, you know, highlights the fact that when you have your Bitcoin on exchange, you may not have real Bitcoin. You may just have them putting numbers on your phone saying you have this much Bitcoin, but they may be leveraging everybody, you know. And yeah. That's an interesting thought. So if people get serious about pulling their coins off of exchanges, there's going to come a time where, like, said this over and over again, and I keep waiting, but it's like there's going to come a time where you're going to go on there and they're going to be like, no, we don't actually have Bitcoin. You can buy some, but you can't pull it off because, you know, it's not, we don't actually have it available. But yeah, I don't know. It's tough because I get so many people interested and then I like tell them all this stuff and then I kind of leave the conversation feeling like, okay, well, maybe they learned a little bit, but they're not going to rush off and go buy some. Like, how do I get people to actually take that leap? You know, we're talking about things that we can do. You know, I want to eventually be doing some sort of giveaways with just small amounts of Bitcoin on the Lightning Network or whatever.
I'm stuck on this idea right now. This is like fascinating me right now, actually, because I've never heard this. You said that 50 million there's 50 million Bitcoin on exchanges, like on the different exchanges right now.
Yeah. I'm not sure how they worded it, but it was, basically had to do with like you know, all the supply Bitcoin of what's not actually backed up all by solid Bitcoin. It's derivatives. It's like,
see,
it's no different than when you go to the bank and, you know, you go to pull out $10,000 and they don't have enough.
Oh shit. That trips. That's actually really trippy, because imagine, imagine that does happen one day.
It's going to happen.
One day. Then boom, that's, everything that's,
and everything happening right now, like any of the, like any of the news you see going on, it doesn't even matter what you want to point to. It's all like, it's all highlighting this desperate need for this new monetary system. So like, it's crazy to me, because like the news is just always so bullish to me. Like there's always just like this great, you know, great things happening and people building cool things on it. You know, they made an announcement about that new browser that's built, you know, that uses Lightning to do all these cool things, and all the Lightning integration and with the POS companies, you know, to deal with Strike and Jack Mahler's and all the stuff he's doing. Mm-hmm. There's all this amazing stuff, and I just get so excited. I'm just like, oh man, like this is going to be a year of like mass adoption. And then you look at the price and it tanks another $5,000. You're just like, what? How? How? And then when in moments like this where we've dipped again, it's like back down to 40,000, 43, mm-hmm. something like that. Like I start, my brain again starts like, oh, well, I don't know. Maybe I should sell that trailer or sell that car. You know, like mm-hmm. I get excited and I want to get more, or like just take advantage of the opportunity. Cause I'm just like, there's going to come a time, maybe in a year, maybe in 2 years, and you're going to be like, damn. I should have bought a whole bunch at 40,000 or 60,000 or 80,000. It doesn't even matter at that point.
Yeah.
We're going to look back, and when it's 10 million, no one's going to be talking about whether you bought it 30,000 or 40,000. They're just going to be like, damn, you got in way back then. Yeah. Crazy. You're so lucky. Everyone will call you lucky.
Yeah. I remember in 2020, like in, it was like August, September, the price was between like 9 and like 13,000, and I remember talking to you about it, and I was just like, well, you know, it's back down at 10, you know, and I was like, you know, it might go back down to 9, but it, you know, and it ended up going up to like 12 the next day, and I'm like, oh man. And I remember texting you about it, like, oh, I went up to 12, I should have got some yesterday, and like and then you're like, yeah, I remember you telling me, it's like, it's not going to matter if it's 10,000, 13,000, 15,000, like, it's not going to matter later when it's, you know, 50,000 or 80. I remember you saying something like that to me, and I was just like, yeah, you know, you're right.
And that's always going to be the same. Like, we're always going to have cycles. There's emotional reactions. There's whale manipulation. There's Elon Musk putting out a tweet. You know, the price is like, there's so many factors that go into the price that have nothing to do with Bitcoin. Like Bitcoin is always solid. It doesn't matter what the news is or who would die. Like at the end of the day, Bitcoin's been doing its thing from the beginning, and it does it all the time, no matter what, regardless of the price. But it's interesting how much like that number just like matters to us so much. Whether it's, you know, having that perspective of like, well, I hope it goes to a million, so I'll have millions of dollars. Keeping in mind that when that happens, millions of dollars isn't going to be what it used to be.
Yeah.
Or whether you're looking at the like, oh, I missed out. Like if I would have got in, or well, maybe if it dips to 20,000, people are always having their ideas on targets. Mm-hmm. And I think getting over that idea of like, well, if I could buy at this price and sell at this price, then I would have a lot of money.
Yeah.
And just get into the mindset of like, I just want to get as much of it as I can, as I can get it, and hold on to it for the future, and start thinking in Satoshis. You know, that helps me, like, because I get a notification every morning on my phone from Slushpool, and it tells me like how much I mined last night are in the last day. So it'll be like, you know, you mine 0.003 Bitcoin or whatever. And sometimes that number's a little lower. Sometimes it's higher. Some days I'm like, oh wow, I like, you know, got really lucky yesterday. Some days it's a little lower and I'm like, damn, I only made like 0.001. But if I think of that as like, 100,000 satoshis. I'm like,
yeah,
that's pretty good. 100,000 satoshis, that's pretty cool, like, for mm-hmm. one day, for not doing anything. And yeah, getting over the, like, I almost feel like if we would have, you know, just had it scaled differently, like move the decimal place over and just priced it a little bit differently, like, you know, made the unit number instead of 21 million, made it like 210 million. You know what I mean? So that the price bias would be a little different. So like right now, if we move the decimal place over two places, right now it'd be like, you know, $4,000 or no, $400 instead of 40,000, but it wouldn't change anything because the supply would also be 100 yeah. times more. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. It's going to do what it's going to do. And I just spread it as much as I can. But yeah, I can't help but get this like frustration where I'm just like, damn it. Like, listen, no, I'm telling you, like, go fucking buy it right now. Like, get some yeah. now. Like, this thing is happening. It's not, it doesn't even feel like speculation to me anymore. It feels like inevitable.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's good to have this conversation because it's working me up again. It's helping me to revert my attention and like redirect it, because I have been really focused on price and thinking a lot about, you know, the news that's coming out or this or that. And it's like, I think about how often I get to use the network, you know, whenever I need to make a transfer for something, or, you know, like, it's just, it's cool to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, I do focus on, you know, that number.
Yeah.
And when I think about what the future holds, I feel like, yeah, it's like a long-term thing. And when, you know, you reminded me of something when you said, you know, if I can only buy it at this price and sell it at this price, then I'll have a lot of money. And I was like, hey, that's my idea. But it's like, yeah. But then, you know, but it's like, no, because I know I never want to let go of all of it. You know, I do want to get to a point where I can utilize it so that I can get some rigs, you know, yeah. or, you know, to like, you know, reinvest into being able to help others get on board with it. But like, it's, I think about it now and it's like, I think we've really got to utilize like our capital to like get the people going. Like, just like you said,
yeah,
just like we said today, like, there is no huge like individual that's like really, that can really get the people fired up about it. I mean, I feel like there are people that are knowledgeable, that have great insights and great points about it, you know, can spit facts all day about what it's done and mathematically what it will do. But if people don't care or feel like it's possible, it does make it tough. But I think maybe it's not that. Maybe the truth is that we just got to shift the way we are doing things. Like, I think I already know I've got areas in my mind that I can improve upon when I think about Bitcoin specifically, my hesitancies about it, my biggest fears around it. And I maybe see it reflected in the hesitancy that people have to say, oh my gosh, it makes so much sense. Like,
yeah,
how do I get into it? You know, like, I think because I'm not confident to that degree where I, like, you know, I'm not as confident as you when it comes to talking about Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
I just know the wonders it's done for me. And it's hard to talk about that with people because I don't know. It's hard for me to talk about that with people.
Yeah. Well, and if we talk about it from a perspective of like, well, I started buying at this time and now I have minors and now I have, I have this, then people get focused on that. Oh, so you have this and I don't, you got in early. Like, yeah. Oh, well, that's good for you. But what about me? And
how does the shift happen there?
Well, I think a lot of this comes down to, you know, it's a bigger thing than just Bitcoin. It has to do with, you know, more and more of us waking up to believing in the idea that there's something better for us. And I don't just mean money. I mean, like, you know,
quality of life,
like freedom, real sovereignty, like real, like, reconnecting with each other. Just everything being different. It's to me, like, the way things are, they're like so far gone that it's just like, all right, let's let the boomer people just will go away and we'll just start something new. It's like, we got to stop feeding energy into the old media and into the old ways of doing things and make a leap from this old thing to a brand new thing that you've never seen before. And when it's explained, it just sounds like some weird alien shit, or it's completely unfathomable, or maybe you don't have any ability to grasp it at all. So it takes a lot to get from point A to point B. But I don't think it's about giving people the right information necessarily. I think it's about convincing people that they deserve something better. I mean, we've talked about this before, because I just think, like, no matter how much information is there, people will be like, they're not, it's in one ear and out the other ear, because they have this underlying belief that life is hard. You know, this underlying belief that, like, well, no, you have to, like, work really hard if you want to get anything, and inflation is just a thing, and things always cost more, and we're fucked, you know. It's like this real pessimistic view. And to me, Bitcoin is a huge part of, like, you know, a prosperous new type of future where...
Well, what are we doing right now? We're talking about, you know, some of the experiences that we've already had, right? I think it's it may be good for us now to think about, like, what it would look like for the people that, like, would be really interested, like, just based off of the truth, which is they do deserve better, right? And it may be, you know, tough at first to grasp the full concept, but with time, like, it's, you know, you'll see that this is the direction of the monetary network and how it's going to be for the benefit of the mass majority of the people. You know, there isn't going to be, I feel like the standard of living will be raised with the mass adoption of Bitcoin and, you know, this whole new platform that, you know, exchange of value can be built upon. So
So something you said earlier got me thinking about my own, because, like, what you said earlier about, you know, what are your doubts? What are you projecting onto people? Or where are you, like, not quite there as far as, like, being full in? Or where is that reflected back to you, you know, in your conversations and interactions? And it got me thinking about myself, and I feel like I'm, like, really passionate and all in on Bitcoin. But I think a place where I'm out of alignment and that I struggle with is, like, I still have other stuff. I still have other altcoins. I have these other investments that are like, I feel kind of stuck in them now. Mm-hmm. And so the greedy me is like, I'm not getting out of these positions. I'm going to wait till we have a next altcoin cycle, and then I'm going to trade them for Bitcoin. And then I'll have my Bitcoin back, and then I'll stick with that or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. But if it is what I say it is, if it is what I kind of truly believe, then it's like, well, a lot of this shit's useless. It's going to go away. Like, so is the universe, like, this is me in my own little perspective, my own little reality, my own little creation of reality. Is the universe like, yeah, no, we're keeping the Bitcoin price down,
yeah,
until you put your money where your mouth is and you actually take, yeah, cut those losses, let go of this idea that, you know, you're going to wait for this other thing to do a thing. And but it's kind of tricky because I put a big chunk of my investments into a staking thing that I'm locked into, you know, and I like the project because it's backed by hardware, and it's about, you know, a decentralized VPN thing that uses these little hardware nodes. And I really like the project. Like, it seems like it has a lot of potential or whatever. And on one day, like, I got in, you know, and I bought a bunch of these tokens, ordered the hardware, and now I'm running it and I'm mining, quote unquote mining, and I'm getting these other tokens, but that price keeps going down worse than Bitcoin, you know? And it's like, I'm like, fuck, is that where I'm not, you know, I'm like passionate about it and speaking one way, but is it my actions that are kind of like signaling to the universe that I'm not quite ready for this thing to happen yet?
Yeah.
But I don't know.
And I think about it as well. Like, I'm to a point where, like, I do need to truly get down to the, like, to the foundation, to the framework of how it all works in order for me to, like, feel that comfortable, to have that fire in me when I'm talking to people that, you know, ask. It's like, I need to understand the framework from, like, its inception, like cryptography type stuff. Like, that's the only way I'll feel comfortable. Like, the way I feel now, I feel great about it, but it's like, when, in order for me to feel like to the next level, I have to be able to overcome objections. Like, I have to be able to overcome, you know, the questions that people ask and know the answers to them. Is it wrong to, like, want to know the answers to the questions that people have about, you know, something I feel so passionate about? Like, if I believe in it, I should know about it, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, with Bitcoin, like, I feel like still, like, when it comes to technical stuff, I still feel like I don't understand a lot.
Yeah.
Like,
and it's okay to just say, I don't know.
But it's like, yeah.
But see, but and then it's like,
and explaining things in a really simple way. So it's like, okay, I'm not good at explaining cryptography or the code, you know,
or the algorithm
that which Bitcoin runs on and stuff, but I can say, it's definitely decentralized. It's definitely encrypted. So, so you can't go back and change things. You can't rewrite it. So I can explain things to an extent. I can explain, well, a government can't really shut it down because it's happening all over the place at the same time. And no matter where you cut that network, it's still going to exist. Mm-hmm. You know, we can use metaphors like, you know, comparing it to mycelium network with mushrooms and how that works. You know, there's a lot of great metaphors there and connections there. So I feel, you know, I've been learning about it for 5 years. I watched, like, on average, I'm at least watching or taking in something once a day. Mm-hmm. Some days a lot, some days not as much, but on average, like, I'm taking in, I'm reading stuff, I'm learning stuff every day. And it still feels like there's so much to learn about it. I think it's a really deep rabbit hole. And even though now there's still a lot that I don't understand, I definitely know a lot more than I did a year ago. And a year ago, I could still speak about it pretty passionately, but I feel like it's just like taking little, you know, the more I learn, the more tools I have, the better I can answer a question. Maybe I'm still not answering it fully, but just like every little bit of information helps, and understanding little aspects of it helps explain it in new ways. And, but I think it's, you know, I look at some of the younger people that understand it like on a much deeper level and stuff, and they're just like, I could just tell their brains are probably more evolved than mine. Like, takes me more time to learn this stuff.
But. Yeah, dude. Anytime that Jack Mahler's guy, whenever he goes off, I'm like, dude, this guy's a genius.
I like watching him because he speaks so.
I feel like he's the fieriest. I think he's the fieriest.
Oh, yeah. He's like my favorite. Like, I like watching him speak and Michael Saylor, because Michael Saylor explains things in really interesting terms, and he's obviously got that engineering brain. Like, he's got that super brilliant, like.
And he also just goes on forever, though.
Oh, yeah. He likes to talk. And I've heard it all. You know, I've heard his stuff so many times. It's kind of like, you know, just get kind of, get tired of hearing the same stuff or whatever. It's like, but I think it's exciting that someone like Jack Mahler is doing so much to build stuff. Like, he's really getting out there and connecting with the countries that are interested in getting on, and companies.
It's gonna pay off, man. I know it. I could see him doing like really big things, and he's already done some really awesome partnerships.
I mean, let's say in a year, even half of the. Well, I mean, it should be all of, because the stores on the list that he put out are all stores that use that POS service that they partnered with, which is like the largest POS company in the country.
No, it's like seventh largest in the world or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was like the largest.
Might be in the country, but seventh largest. When I was watching,
I thought I saw that you did like 1/6 of the transactions or something.
Yeah.
But whatever it is, it's a lot of places, and it's like Starbucks, Circle K,
McDonald's, CVS, I saw a bunch of them.
McDonald's. It's like places where people go all the time, Chipotle. Like, just having those places, see how many of those chains are around the country.
Yeah.
And like, just having like those places on the Lightning Network, I mean, how much does that affect the value of Bitcoin? I mean, if it suddenly goes, because right now the question I get, somebody, this came up the other night, this was one of the big questions. So it was like, yeah, but okay, so you mine it, it goes into your wallet, but how do you spend it? Like, what is that? And then it's like, and then my answer right now is, well, basically you sell it for dollars, whether it's through a crypto.com card or Cash App, or you send it to an exchange and you put the money back in your bank account. But basically, there's some kind of conversion, some taxable event, or you're borrowing dollars against your crypto, but there's always some interaction with the dollar network. When we switch away and I can mine Satoshis right to my Lightning wallet and then send that right to Starbucks and get me a coffee, and nobody knows where that money came from.
Yeah.
There's nobody reporting it. There's like, that to me is going to be really magical. And then people are spending their Bitcoin directly. So I think the stuff he's doing is like, he's making it to where like we can really start thinking of things in terms of Bitcoin. And
you know what? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, there's this thing back and forth you hear is like whether or not to spend your Bitcoin. Like, you know, because Michael Saylor is like, no, you never sell it. You never spend it. You hold on to it. You borrow against it. It's that thing you hold on to and you pass on for generations. And then there's the other thinking that it's like, well, how do we ever get to a Bitcoin standard if people aren't using Bitcoin?
Yeah.
And I feel like as a miner, you know, or someone who's dollar cost averaging in, and then we transition to a place where you can spend it directly, that's like the real winning scenario for me. Cause I want to be able to spend it. I want to be able to use it, cause we got to be able to transact, and I want to switch to the new thing.
Yeah.
But if I'm accumulating through mining or earning or whatever, you know, I could work a job and have my paycheck directly converted to Bitcoin. And then I'm spending from that, at least the thing that I'm holding on to is always going up in value. So it's kind of like at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how much I hold on to and how much I sell. I always have some, and that thing's always going up in value versus always having some dollars and they're always going down in value.
Yeah.
So I feel like we're so early that you just can't really lose. Like even, you know, even your family that hasn't gotten in yet, they're still going to be early to the game because they're still, as a result of knowing you and knowing me or whatever, they're more likely to get in before someone who doesn't have someone in their family who's into it.
You know, and I'm thinking about it now, it's like, I got to just bite the bullet and like do what I know I've got to do. Like it's, and it's not really forcing my parents to do it. It's like, it's doing it for them because I know that it's something that they may not like appreciate right now, but they will as time goes along. So it's like really putting my foot forward in that space. But an idea did come to me. Remember when I asked you about why don't over the counter purchases like affect the supply, or why it doesn't affect the market? Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Like when they'll say like, oh, Tesla bought this amount or this business bought this amount or whatever, but they did it OTC. And there's a lot of different ways it can happen. You know, they can average it out to multiple days and all that stuff. But I also thought about this, like, could it just be that it's in the custody of the exchange already and it's off of the circulating supply and they're just transferring it from one wallet to another? And that's why it doesn't affect anything? Because it stays on cold storage?
I mean, price changes based on like news and order books and traders. I mean, there's so many things that affect price, but if a lot of Bitcoin is moving around and it's not obvious on an exchange, or if you're not looking at that transaction, it's not going to affect, you know, your view of price. So you're not going to trade accordingly or whatever. So yeah, I mean, when these things happen, you know, I think it's really strategic in how they get announced, how they're making the trade. Like you said, they're spreading it out over days. They're doing it in a way to where they're not affecting the price so much. And I think that's happening a lot right now. Like I know behind the scenes, like Apple's making moves, Google's making moves, Amazon's making moves, everyone's making moves. Yeah. I guarantee it. There's no way these smart people that got smart people working for them, billionaires, aren't making moves on this thing.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, and a CEO of Apple's already talked about being, you know, he's already knowledgeable of crypto and Bitcoin and didn't disclose anything in regards to integrating anything with Apple, but It's I feel like it's coming, and I think a big event that, and I know it's not the point to think of, but like I feel like a big event will help you know, more integration is the Apple Wallet integrating to, you know, the Lightning Network, like being able to just simply being able to do it from your iPhone.
And all this stuff exists. All the hardware is there. That's what's so exciting, is like all this is just on the, it's like a light switch that can be flipped.
Yeah.
Apple, all they have to do, they're already working on it. They probably already have working prototypes. It's probably already done. They're just waiting until the right time to put it out. But at any time, these big announcements can happen, or, you know, Starbucks companies start accepting it, whatever. It doesn't really matter what the catalyst is, but once we get the FOMO from retail, that's when the price moves, because then you have, all right, so if you have like one individual buying billions worth of Bitcoin and they're setting it up through an OTC desk and they're doing it strategically, that's not going to change the price a ton. But if you have that same amount of Bitcoin, but it's split up between among millions of individuals who are going and buying 0.01 or 0.1, then your order books get filled up with buy orders and they eat up all the liquidity going up. And then it's happening at all the exchanges at once versus just one OTC trade, right? So that's all it just takes like a catalyst, you know, and then the shit gets crazy. I mean, I've been through I've been through what I would call two like extreme, like parabolic rises, you know, back in 2017 when I started buying at like 1500 and we ran all the way up to 20 grand. And then I would say like the end of 2020 when we broke back out of the 20 grand area and we went up to like 68.
Yeah.
And when that happens, it's because like the FOMO is crazy. Like people are just losing their minds. And right now, like we don't have that. The retail people aren't that interested. It's like,
that's the thing. It's like
it's happening, but it's not super.
I feel like the retail, like even with the retail dollars, right? Like, can they really move the market? Like retail dollars can't, I feel like they can't move the market as much as the major whales, like, you know, the mining companies that have been mining for God knows when, you know, the whales that have been accumulating for, you know, since the beginning or even, you know, early on. Like, I feel like even the supply that Michael Saylor and MicroStrategy have or Grayscale has, like, I think about how much that is like stored away and how the markets moved in 2020 when we had the huge run-ups and into 2021. And then it looked like the opposite happening, you know, like, but in the same way, like it was like we would see upward movement, right? And then it would slam down. And then it looked like it would try to climb back up and then slam down again. But it would be like, and I remember when the price was running up, it was like it could never go down. You know, it was like, oh, maybe it'd go down for a little bit and then boom, pop up. And then it'll stabilize a little bit, drop a dip, you know, dip for a little bit, and then boom, a big jump. And I remember waking up night after night, you know, just getting that adrenaline, you know, like, and I remember just repeating that day after day, just feeling that feeling of like, wow, this felt so great. And then the opposite end of it when the price would drop. But learning to work with the ebb and flow of those energies. But the point being, it's like, I feel like those that are in supply that have the large supply of Bitcoin, I feel are the ones that are really moving the market the most. Like that would, I mean, it just makes sense, but I feel like the retail get like attempt to get in. And then there are times where, you know, Coinbase shuts down or crypto.com shuts down for, you know, whenever there were big price movements, you know? And so, like, we haven't seen any huge run-ups lately. And I haven't heard of any outages that have happened through any of the big exchanges, Binance or Coinbase. But I don't know, man. It's
I don't even think we've had, like, an extreme retail FOMO event, like, since 2017.
Since 2017?
Yeah, even in this last big run-up, like, I don't know that was, like, on that same level of, like, hype. I mean,
yeah, I think
I don't know, it's just... It's,
like, Google searches and stuff, that's, I think they...
Like, that still hasn't been back up to where it was in 2017.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, whales manipulate price and move things, but a lot of those, you know, like Michael Saylor just buys coins and locks them away. All that does is just ensure that Bitcoin's going up long term. That doesn't, he's not shorting it or manipulating it. I mean, people are manipulating it. That's, you know, there's always got to be these formations where it goes up and down, and then the tightening formation, you know, it tightens and then it breaks out either up or down and it makes a big move. That's just the nature of markets. Like that part's kind of inevitable, but at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter who, what, or how. It's just, you know, me wanting to get as many people involved as possible while it's down, and appreciating it too. Like, because Bitcoin helps me to know how to kind of like live my life. Like right now I'm in kind of more of a conserving mode. Like I don't spend a lot. I'm just kind of working on things, kind of finishing stuff up that I already have the, you know, I don't need a lot of capital for. And then when Bitcoin was up at over 60,000, you know, that's when I was kind of like buying some laptops and a computer, you know, other music shit and buying little so it's like I don't trade really, but I do kind of like it's a good feeling when Bitcoin's up at that higher levels, because then I feel more willing to spend. And as a miner, it's like when Bitcoin's at 60,000, I'm in the like green. I have extra money every month to spend. When it's down at 40,000, it's kind of like, you know, breaking even, and I'm able to pay some bills and stuff, but it's not like I have this extra money. So, I don't know. It's a weird thing. So I'm excited for the price to go up. I'm excited for all that. I'm excited to feel that abundance and like, oh man, now I can just start giving it away. I can start sharing more. I can start, you know, planning things, building things more. But every day that it stays down, it's like that's more opportunities for people to learn about it. It's more distribution. Every time that price dips down, we're flushing out a lot of weak hands, and that's what we want. We want to get the weak hands out of the way, and we want to get it distributed as possible into real believers of the, you know, the real ethos of Bitcoin.
Do you think that that there's a possibility that it'll create, you know, something in turmoil from the effects of like the transfer of wealth?
I don't know. I think it's going to be gentle and kind of Trojan horse. Like it's going to happen little by little. A lot of people aren't going to even know what is happening until it's done. Like, you know, the people that are chasing money, chasing dollars, like they're going to keep chasing them, and they'll keep stacking their millions and billions, but their millions and billions will be worth way less. But they already have so much that it's kind of like they're good, right? So they're just going to kind of live out their lives and keep doing what they're doing. So I don't see it as like, this violent shift or something. I just see it as this thing that's just slowly sucking the value out. And a lot of people aren't paying attention. A lot of people are like, oh, whatever, Bitcoin bubble, you know, whatever. But it's just, I don't know. I think it's so beautiful. It's like a peaceful protest.
I'd love for that to happen, by the way. But so that reminds me of something that I heard yesterday. So it was actually this lady that was at the Bitcoin conference. She was from South Korea North Korea. And she talked about how she said 2009, where I may be wrong, but North Korea did a currency exchange, and like any cash, like physical cash that the North Koreans had.
I saw that same one.
Yeah.
It's so funny that we watched like the same videos.
I mean,
I know what you're talking about.
So you remember that? So, and mm-hmm. they were talking about how the currency, they did a currency exchange, and they gave the people like 7 days to go in and exchange their cash for either the new currency or something. Mm-hmm. And but they only could do like the amount to buy like, you know, like two bags of rice or something wild, bro. Yeah. I was like, what? And so it was like, she even said like, imagine like, imagine you were a millionaire, or, you know, you had saved all your life, you know, or like for 10 years, 20 years, 15 years, you know, saved cash aside, and then the government decides to do a currency exchange, and, you know, immediately your value or the worth of the money that you've stored up. So,
yeah, I get the feeling that it's not going to be as, like, I mean, they're going to put out a central bank digital currency. I think this is what I see happening, is they're going to say, like, we're getting rid of cash. Take your cash in, trade it for a digital currency, which would be similar, but hopefully it'll be a one-for-one exchange at least. Hopefully it's not like, because so the trade-off will be like, yeah, so here is a digital currency. It's nice and easy and convenient, but we can track everything you do. No more, you know, it's going to be really easy for us to figure out what you owe in taxes. We're going to know where you're spending money.
They're going to use the blockchain for it.
Yeah. Right. And I don't know. I fully see that coming down the line, but I like to keep this optimistic view where it's like that coexists and Bitcoin does its thing and it keeps growing and people keep underestimating it. And then next thing we know, there's just a lot of people that are just dealing in Bitcoin, dealing directly with each other and denominating things in Bitcoin.
Did I ever show you there's a part in Wreck-It Ralph where they go down to like the black market and there's a Bitcoin logo at the top left corner in the dark web is what they call it.
No.
And there's a Bitcoin logo in the top left corner. Yeah.
What year did that come out? The first Wreck-It Ralph?
No, it's the Ralph Breaks the Internet one.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll show you.
I don't know if I've seen that one.
Well,
yeah.
I was watching it and I had seen the movie once before, but I was just like, I was watching it again and I saw it. I was like, wait, is that a Bitcoin logo? And I stopped, rewound it. And I, long story. And I paused it. I'm like, yo, and I took a picture of it. So I'll show you. Yeah, dude. And it was funny. I was like, it's a Disney movie. And I was like, why would Disney put a Bitcoin logo in the dark web? But hey, maybe they got their motives.
Disney's definitely got their motives. They're not the same as our motives.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that doesn't. Yeah. I mean, I think that's definitely
definitely intentional, because everything they do is intentional. So,
yeah.
And this was, I think, when did that movie come out? Couldn't have been too long ago. It was like at least like 6 or 7 years ago, maybe.
Yeah.
And
that sounds about right.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess back then there was still a lot of skepticism behind Bitcoin.
What? Yeah. Who cares? Like, yeah, you can use it on the dark web if you want. Just like you can use cash to buy drugs if you want. Like, you can do things a lot of ways.
Yeah.
It's not going away.
That is a intriguing idea. Sleepy Joe might just bring that one to life. He's going to go out with a bang and he's going to pass the crypto law, making USDCs or CBDCs. But it'll be a good thing.
Happening all over the place. States getting interested. Senators, congressmen.
Oh, yeah. I wonder how the bill's doing. Last I checked, it looks good. Arizona might be the first state. Probably is.
I think Arizona's going to be a good place to be, too. It's kind of like, I feel like we've been pretty lucky here as far as it comes to all the COVID BS, like lockdowns, masks, vaccine. Like, it hasn't been too crazy here.
Oh, yeah.
versus a lot of other places. And I don't know, I'm starting to be really hopeful for our country, the state, everything. I'll get out of here if I have to, but I'm hopeful that like the U.S. is going to wake up and get on board with this thing and take advantage of it instead of try to fight it. I kind of feel like everything China's doing is just like good examples of what not to do. Like, and we can learn like, okay, that doesn't work. Like, you know, don't ban mining, like embrace it, you know? And now they got, I've seen some really upsetting stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know what I was seeing too, that like, there's like conspiracy about China being the ones that control the algorithm of territories and what videos get circulated and featured and most popular kind of things, and that that the reason why a lot of the, you know, just the toxic culture of stuff that circulates in the U.S. Is, you know, in part to that kind of stuff. And what they do on their end is they circulate things that they want to inspire their youth to do. Like, so they'll circulate things about engineering and computing and, you know, advances in technologies and experiments and, you know, all of these different things.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's kind of trippy. I wasn't sure how, of course, I'd not sure how far into that belief I went into, but I thought about it and it was interesting, but I have no clue what is happening in China. So can enlighten me on that.
Oh, I don't know. I was thinking just on some of the stuff I've seen around lockdowns, and the videos that really upset me are stuff happening with animals. Like, I saw this video where they're like putting all these cats inside of bags, and the cats are just like stuffed in these bags. It's like, that shit upsets me so bad.
I saw that.
Or like they're like, you know, killing dog, like just
that's trippy. I just saw cats in bags and I was like, what is this? I didn't know that was in China though.
I think it was.
And then I did see like people were videoing at nighttime out of their like apartment windows or out of their like, you know, apartments, and people are like screaming because they're on like a 9-day lockdown or something. Or
yeah, they don't have any way to eat. It's craziness. I don't know. I think one of the biggest things that'll help us move along is to take back our media, like having censorship-free, decentralized information shared that isn't being, you know, filtered through major corporations or, you know, them deciding what's best for us to see. Cause I think that right now is keeping people really confused, really scared, really stuck in the past. I think it's a lot easier to see a Bitcoin future and a future built around smaller communities and self sovereignty and governing ourselves. And like, I don't think it's that far fetched, but if you're staying, if you're believing that the everything that's in place is going to stick around, it's kind of hard to get to that other place. But I think if we start taking back the media, it'll really start changing things really quickly. This information's out there. People are waking up to a bunch of stuff. Like, it's not just Bitcoin. It's everything. And a lot of the best ideas, a lot of the really good information, or what I see as good information, is getting censored, or it's getting, you know, pushed down the list and search results. It's really hard to get exposure on YouTube if your shit's about like Bitcoin, or if it's about health that isn't centered around getting vaccinations or whatever.
Hey, you know who's beating that algorithm right now though? Russell Brand.
Oh yeah.
He's beating that like to a pulp right now, man. He's doing really well. And
yeah,
as far as everything that he puts out.
Yeah. I'm excited to see where he's headed. Cause he does a really good job of not coming off as like a paranoid conspiracy theory guy, but he's willing to look at all that information objectively and present it.
Yeah.
And it's like really cool to see someone like him, like speaking up about inconvenient truths.
Yeah.
Like
he did another one about Bitcoin recently, within the past 5 or 6 days.
It's happening, bro. It's all happening. It's all over the place. It's just mind blowing to me that it happens as slow as it does. But that's like the story of my life. I'm always like, all right, this is going to happen now. Now? What about now? Here we go. Come on. I know, like, there's no way. Come on. You guys see this, right? Like, we're doing this, right? No?
Yeah.
All right. We'll wait another year. It's like, takes time. I'm just excited to be part of it now. And I think this year is going to be huge.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a good year. I think, I really think it'd be important to get out in the community a little more. Just like,
let's do it.
Run around with Bitcoin hats. You know, these guys, have you ever seen the guys that ride around in bicycles around here and they have like big old sombreros and it says buy Bitcoin on them?
No.
Yeah, dude.
Really?
Yeah, dude.
That's awesome.
Not even joking. Yeah. And they're like, they ride all around the south side over here.
Yeah, well, start brainstorming about some cool projects.
Yeah, dude, because
I like the
idea of going stamping, down
putting stuff on cash. I think is a good idea too.
Stamping on cash, that's funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have too much cash, but
or writing. Yeah, I don't use it, but
got a couple dollar bills in my under my sofa.
So, it's like, we just need Bitcoin just like double in price. So I have a little bit of cushion because then I'll be all about giving, a couple $1,000 worth of Bitcoin away, breaking it into lots of little increments and giving them away.
Yeah.
Like, I would love to. It's just right now I'm like, fuck, I got to pay my bills though.
You know, it's like people, I know that there's things that people want to do. They want to get together. They want to connect. And, people do want to learn about how they can improve their lives. I think that's a focus right now, especially keeping themselves healthy and, some of the intricacies to how they can dive into prosperity themselves. And I think getting something going where we can involve Bitcoin education and what people enjoy doing right now in that type of scene where we can get people to engage and interact. I think that's something that if we do right now, we can build more. And I think there's opportunities already coming up with this conference that's coming up. So I'm excited.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but there's definitely a lot of opportunities coming, and I'm down for all of them. I think it's important. I want to do some kind of group events where we're bringing people in who don't know about Bitcoin. Because, like, there's meetup groups and stuff, but me going and talking to other Bitcoiners, it's kind of like a circle jerk, It's just like, yeah, fucking Bitcoin, right? Yeah.
You're a fucking Bitcoiner.
Yeah, hell yeah, bro. Versus, like, helping like new people get involved. And
I think that's probably, doing it the first time might open the door to like putting our heads together, and figuring out how we can do something innovative to involve the community and get the word out more and spread it out and go through the process of either giving away free Bitcoin and wallets and all that stuff, or doing what we can do now, which would be doing it at a smaller scale, or just go through the education piece and show people how to do it themselves.
Well, I'd be happy to do some event where we tell people, hey, show up and listen to our talk and come ask questions. And we're going to give everybody that shows up, you know, whatever, $10, $15 on a card or whatever, you know. And at a small scale with a few people, that's not that much anyways.
Or yeah.
10, 20 people. And then can grow it from there. But that's how, you know, like, that's how important this is to me. Like, I'll pay you to come listen to me talk about Bitcoin. That's how important. And I don't get anything out of it. I'm not asking for anything.
I'm actually like, losing.
Yeah. Well, kind of, you know, like in the bigger picture, more Bitcoin adoption puts me in a better position, right? Because then the people are buying into my pyramid scheme instead of the other one. But buy into the pyramid scheme that actually has a limited supply. That's the key, you know, like. So, yeah. I'm ready to do it all. Any kind of events or something will be, do something in downtown Tucson.
Yeah, start with the local heads. Yeah. You know, we should look at, we should just see what type of events they have already for Bitcoin, if they have any. There's got to be something.
Yeah.
We can't be the only ones in Tucson.
There's at least like a meetup group up in Phoenix. I'm not sure what's here in Tucson, but there's a couple big, like, Bitcoiners on Twitter too that have some followers that are from Tucson and Arizona. I want to get together with them too. I don't know. It'll happen.
It's Facebook.
One day at a time, one thing at a time.
For now, we'll just talk to each other about it, record it, and send it out to the cosmos.
Yeah. Just keep putting love out there.
Yeah, man.
Bitcoin and love.
Bitcoin and love. Love and Bitcoin.
I think Bitcoin is love. It's the money of love.
Did you see Max Kaiser talk?
No.
I didn't either.
At the conference?
Yeah.
No, I didn't watch his.
Yeah.
That was fun seeing him live in Phoenix, though.
Yeah. The picture that we took with them came up on like my memories on my phone. Like it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So like,
yeah.
Swipe right at all. Yeah, dude. He was pretty gnarly.
Well, for anyone who happens to come across this and wants to get together a group of people or contact us directly to learn more about Bitcoin, I'm totally down. I'll sit and talk to anybody about it, explain whatever elements of it that I can. I'm here to serve, here to speak. So
catch us on the Instagram at Shade to Light Podcast.
Yeah. We're going to get some groups together and start teaching some people, showing them how to do it. Could also, instead of handing out the cards, just get people to show them how to set up a wallet on their phone, show them how easy it is to send. Boom. You know, that's a cool thing too. So then you can show them, actually, we can show people how the network works, how awesome Lightning is, and what the future looks like.
I love it, man.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Shade to Light.
I love you guys. Thanks for listening. We'll let you know we got some big announcements. We're giving away free money. It'll happen eventually.
Nate and I are doing this now on a frequency that's a little more than what we've been used to, and we're
trying to catch up.
Yeah, we're catching up. So get ready for us next week as well. Catch you guys on the flip side.